Third thing that I want you to see is, what is his plan? What will the Antichrist do? What will he try to accomplish? And I want to give you five important things about his plan this morning. First, he will be a world ruler. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 13. It says, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven and the earth in the sight of all men. Excuse me, let's pick up in chapter 13 with verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon, Satan, we saw that last Sunday, the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. That's why earlier I said he would be energized by Satan. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. One part of the Antichrist plan is world domination. Look at the last statement of verse 7. It says, an authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. This person who will come will have authority over all of the earth. He will dominate the political scene. He will dominate the military scene. And he will dominate the world economy according to verses 16 and 17. The second thing that I want you to see is he will establish peace. That is part of the Antichrist plan that we don't often talk about. But back in Daniel chapter 9, and we will look at Daniel 9 in more detail in our next part of the series as we look at events of the end times. I want you just to see one statement in the last verse of chapter 9, verse 27. It says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. The pronoun he refers to the prince who is to come in verse 26, and that is the Antichrist. And he will set up a covenant with the nation of Israel. That is how God worked with the nation of Israel back in the Old Testament. God established covenants with Israel. He had a covenant with Abraham. He established the covenant with Moses on Mount Sinai. Later, he established the Davidic covenant. God worked through a series of covenants with the nation of Israel, and the Antichrist will adopt this same strategy. We don't know what the covenant will be. More than likely, it is a covenant of peace between Israel and perhaps the rest of the world. You know from news reports today how much Israel is hated around the world. Anti-Semitic actions are on a rise, even in our own country. Many countries, especially those in the Near East, would like to wipe Israel off of the face of the earth. If you were to go into the offices of the Palestinian Liberation Organization or many countries around Israel, there would be a map of Israel. There would be a map of the world, and there would not be the country of Israel. It will take. Just think about this now. Think about how Israel is hated among the nations of the world and the nations that surround them, and then think about the fact that Israel will live in a time of peace. That the Antichrist will have that kind of power and that kind of persuasion to bring about a covenant of peace. And yet, especially in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, Israel will live in relative peace. Thirdly, he will support the nation of Israel. Not only is he going to bring about peace, he will allow the nation of Israel to survive. He will actually have the temple in Jerusalem rebuilt. that might be part of the stipulations of the covenant. Can you imagine someone today trying to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem? By the way, when I had the opportunity to visit Israel, I was at the Wailing Wall, the Eastern Wall, and as most of you know, I'm not a terribly emotional person, but when I stood in front of that wall, the emotions just welled up within me. It was a different experience for me. And I turned and I left the wall after praying there, and I walked across the courtyard, and I walked up a flight of steps, and there was another brief, smaller courtyard, and there on the courtyard was a large container made out of what I believe was brass on the bottom and then glass on the top, and inside of that container is the candlesticks that have already been made to be put in the temple when it is rebuilt. And I stood there in amazement. If that temple, if someone tried to rebuild it today, that would cause such a major uprising in countries around the world that we would not believe it. And yet, somehow, the Antichrist will pull that off. The temple is mentioned in three different passages there, Daniel 9:27, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, and here in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. As the world ruler during the tribulation, the rebuilding of the temple can only happen with his support and with his endorsement. And when the temple is rebuilt in Jerusalem, sacrifices will begin to be offered once again, and offerings to God will be offered once again, and the worship of Israel will be what it once was. So at the beginning of his reign, the Antichrist will support the nation of Israel. But in the middle of the tribulation, that all changes. And that's the fourth thing that you need to know. He will betray the nation of Israel. Look again in chapter 9 at verse 27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he will bring an end to sacrifice and offering. At the midpoint of the tribulation, and in prophecy, a week stood for 7 years. At the midpoint of that 7 years, after 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist will turn against Israel. He will stop the sacrifices. He will stop the offerings. And ultimately, he will try to wipe Israel out. It says in the last half of verse 27, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Dr. Leon Wood, who was a great Bible scholar and has passed away, says that the phrase, even until the consummation which is determined shall be poured out upon the desolate, refers to how the Antichrist will treat the Jews. He says this, the total picture is one of terrible suffering inflicted on the Jews by the Antichrist after he has broken his covenant with them. Listen, the Jewish people have gone through terrible times in their history, much of it because of the judgment of God. But it is nothing compared to what will happen to them in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation as the Antichrist pours out all of his wrath and all of his power upon the people of God. The Bible presents the last 3.5 years of the tribulation as a time of great suffering, not just for the Jews, for all mankind, but especially the Jews. as the Antichrist turns all of his power and all of his hatred against God's people. And then he will demand worship. Not only will the Antichrist stop Israel's worship, but he will set up an image of himself in the temple. Daniel calls it the abomination of desolation. And he will demand that they worship him instead of God. Let me read to you from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, brethren, Paul writes, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or trouble, either by spirit or by word or by letter as from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Some of the people believed the day of Christ had come. They were going into tribulation. Paul says, no, not yet. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin, another name for the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The Antichrist will come on the world scene as someone who can solve the world's problems. But political power will not satisfy his thirst. And when he stops the sacrifices and the offerings in the temple, his statue will be set up in the temple for people to worship. And in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 31, if you're still there in the book of Daniel, look at verse 31. It says, they, that is the armies of the Antichrist, will defile the sanctuary. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation. Now you ask, how can people be so easily fooled? How can people so easily worship a man? The book of Revelation chapter 13, and if you mark that place, turn over. I want you to look at verse 11 and then 12 and 13. The Apostle John writes in Revelation 13 and verse 11, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now there are two beasts mentioned in Revelation chapter 13. There's the beast from the sea and the beast from the earth. And there is some discussion among Bible scholars concerning the identity of these two beasts, and specifically, which one is the Antichrist. One of the most accepted views is that the first beast, who is the beast from the sea, is the Antichrist, and the second beast that we just read about, the beast from the earth, is the false prophet. And that seems to me like the most logical and most biblical explanation. So the false prophet, and by the way, we'll look at the false prophet next Sunday in our series. The false prophet is going to perform miraculous signs, and the purpose of that is to get people to worship the Antichrist. By the way, if you walked out of church this morning and there was someone standing in our parking lot and they called down fire from heaven, you would wonder who this person was, and you would marvel at their power and what they could do, and you might even listen to them. The Antichrist will be worshipped. because people will see these dramatic, miraculous signs performed by the false prophet in the name of the beast. Well, another thing that we want to ask is, what will happen to him? What will be the end of the Antichrist? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, just jot down the reference. It says, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Turn back to Revelation again, because Revelation 19 gives us a more complete picture of the end of the Antichrist, beginning in verse 11. Revelation 19 and verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Drop down to verse 19. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And there the Antichrist and the false prophet will stay for eternity. Last Sunday, when we looked at Satan, we looked at the fact that he would be released after the millennial kingdom for a short period of time. The Bible never says the prophet and the Antichrist and the false prophet will be released at that point in time. Satan will be, they will not be. While we look at the Antichrist as someone who is evil and someone who is wicked, the world is waiting for such a man. Back in the 1940s, around the time of the Second World War, the Prime Minister of Belgium said, what the world needs is a man who will come and will take authority. He said something to the effect that we've tried to rule by committees for too long. And what we need is a leader who will come in power and authority, and the world will welcome him. And when the Antichrist finally steps on to the stage of human history, he will be welcomed by most world leaders, by most countries, and by most people. That's why we need to know who he is and where he will come from and what his plan is and what will happen to him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. I can't tell you that the Antichrist will come in your lifetime. I can tell you that we have been called to watch and be sober. We have been called to exercise caution and diligence and discernment. Don't blindly accept leaders who come on the world stage, whether from our country or another country, who say, I am the only one who can solve your problems. That is dangerous. Those are the words that the Antichrist will speak. I am not saying today that any leader in the world is the Antichrist. I do not know that. He may come. He may be on the world scene already. He may come in 5 years. He may come in 100 years. But when he comes, most people will be fooled. We need to watch and be sober. Let's pray together. Father, as we think about the end of human history, and it certainly seems from all of the events that we see around us that the world is quickly on its way to the end. We know from what the Bible teaches that there will come one who will present himself as the only one who can solve the world's problems, and he will solve many of the world's problems. But not for the glory of God, for his own glory. And he will turn against God's people, the Jews. And he will turn against the saints, even though we didn't read those passages this morning. There are several passages that talk about how he will persecute the saints of God, not just the Jewish people, but the followers of God. And yet we also know that in your ultimate plan, you will judge him greatly. And he will be removed from this earth, never to bother anyone again. Lord, help us to be sober. Help us to be watchful. Help us to show great discernment, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.